as a student studying for an exam, and he had mountains of work to get through to prepare for his exam, and thought, I'll never remember it all. So I know what I'll do. I will just summarise it all, and I will summarise it down to one page, and I can memorise one page. So he did. Summarised everything down to one page and looked at that and thought, I can do better. I could summarise that to a paragraph. And worked really hard and summarised that page down to one paragraph and thought, yep, I can memorise that. And then he thought, I could do even better. I summarised that paragraph down to one sentence. Worked very hard, and that was it. He got his whole course down to one sentence and thought, I'm just going to go all for it now. I'm going to get that sentence down to one word. And he did. The entire course summarised in one word. He went into the exam and forgot the word. Now, we have a word, God's word. Now, it's not a single word written on a page, but it's what God is saying to us recorded in the Bible. Now, we've just commissioned our ministry leaders, and the first question that I asked them was, will you present clearly the word of God? It's the first question, because the Bible is essential to every ministry here at Kallaroo. Our church services, our small groups, young adults, high school groups, the youth group, the Sunday school, the kids club. The Bible is essential to all of our ministry groups. Now, a lot of other things that we do are probably optional, but the Bible isn't. The Bible is essential. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's obvious. And I hope you are thinking that's obvious. And if you are thinking that's obvious, you need to hear what Peter has to say in the second half of 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, as I say that and say that the Bible is central, you might be thinking, well, that's not obvious. But you need to hear what Peter wrote in the second half of 2 Peter chapter 1. And the first thing that we need to cover is especially aimed at all of us who are actually well grounded in the faith. And the first thing is this, you need reminding of God's word. That's the first point on the outline, which is on the back of the bulletin. Now, that's actually humbling to hear it, but you need reminding of God's word. And so do I. Peter seems to be near the end of his life as he writes this letter. And so far, in those first 11 verses, he has raised things like the fact that his readers have the knowledge of Jesus, the one who died and rose again for us. He's talked about the gift of faith that's at work in us, changing us. And he's talked about the hope of eternal glory in Christ. Well, now he says, and he uses three different ways to say it, you need reminding of those things. Let me read verses 12 to 15. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Three different ways he says you need reminding. I will always remind you. Secondly, it is right to refresh your memory. Thirdly, you will always be able to remember. Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? You can nod if you do. It's not rhetorical. Okay, I hope you all do. Or at least you're exploring that. Now, if you believe that, do you think you could ever forget that Jesus is Lord? Could you ever forget the gospel story? I'm guessing that your answer's no. My answer's no. It's not likely that I will ever forget this. But that's not what Peter's talking about here when he says you need reminding of it. He's not talking about just remembering facts. Like, you might remember the gist of a story, like Lord of the Rings, three books, a lot of detail in it. I remember how it ends, I remember the gist, but I actually enjoy rereading it because there's lots of little details I've forgotten. He doesn't mean that kind of memory. We're always going to remember the big story of the gospel if we believe it. He's talking about living accordingly, bringing it to mind and acting on it. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, Peter had written this, "But if anyone does not have them, they are nearsighted and blind and have forgotten that they have been cleansed from their past sins." He's talking about the person who is not being changed by the gospel and yet calls himself a Christian. And he says such a person has forgotten. They have forgotten the gospel. They have stopped applying it to their lives. Now, if you ask that person, "Do you remember the gospel? Could you tell me?" they'd probably tell you the main storyline of it. It's not about intellectually remembering the facts. It's about calling it to mind and putting it into practice. It's a bit like certain cricket players. There's some recently, but they sports people always seem to turn up like this, who were international cricket players, not Aussies, who were representing their country, and they were warned by their team management to remember that they are representing their country, to behave themselves off the field as well as on the field. And yet some of them just couldn't help themselves, ended up getting into drunken brawls, and what happened? They're off the team. Now, had they forgotten that they could play cricket? Had they forgotten they played for their country? Had they forgotten that they were actually out of their country at the time? Well, no, in all cases. It's not an intellectual remembering. They just forgot to apply the implications. Maybe after their second drink, someone needed to say, "Hey, mate, just remember, you're playing for your country." Well, at a far more significant level, Peter says that all Christians need constant reminding of who we are. And we need reminding of God's word. Now, he's referring to scripture, what we would call now the Bible, in verse 15, when he talks about his departure, when he's gone, when he's dead and gone. What is it that's going to enable us to remember what he said? Well, it's the written word, his letters. Paul's letters. He talks about Paul's letters in chapter 3 as scripture. Tradition has it that Peter actually helped Mark write his gospel. What we have, now that the apostles are gone, is the apostolic witness written down in the New Testament, and we've also got the Old Testament. See verse 19. "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain." He's talking about the Old Testament. Letters like Jeremiah, written down for us, and now all the more certain because they're all about Jesus and he has come and he's fulfilled those things. They are more certain now. God has caused the Bible to be written because we need to hear and hear again and be reminded of and have our memories refreshed of his word. No other piece of literature is that important. And so Peter assures us that it is a reliable word. So point two, a reliable word. At the centre of the Bible is Jesus. Every page, every verse is pointing to him, revealing him, explaining the implications of who he is. The Bible is the one infallible, reliable source of God's truth. Look at verses 16 to 18. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." God's word is not myth. It is not cleverly invented stories. If you could disprove it historically, let's all go home. I'll stop being a minister tonight if it can be shown historically that the Bible is false. Now, there are some religions who talk about their stories as myths. Historical fact is irrelevant to them. Christianity is the opposite. Peter says he was an eyewitness. He says in verse 19, the Old Testament is made more certain in Jesus' coming. And have a look what he then goes on to say that we must understand. Verses 20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but humans spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is important. The Bible is God's word. Now, yes, it was written by human authors. They were empowered by God's Spirit. They weren't like dictaphones. God spoke and they just copied every single word down. They wrote through their own personalities, their historical contexts and so on. But what they wrote was God's word. And that's why what we have here is 100% reliable in telling us about God, who he is, what he thinks of us, what he's done, and how we are to respond to him. Just over a week ago, I had my birthday, and every year, without fail, a couple of weeks before my birthday, my mum calls. She's in Sydney and says, "What would you like for your birthday?" Now, she's my mum. She's known me, obviously, all my life, and she knows me pretty well, and yet, through experience, mum knows that she doesn't usually get the idea of things I like for my birthday. So she's worked out that the best way to figure out what I like is actually to ask, which is the same for all of us. You could have a guess about each other, what you might like and not like, but really, isn't it the best way, the most accurate and reliable way to just ask? The Bible is God telling us straight from his mind what he thinks, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what he wants, what he doesn't want. He is telling us his will. The God of the universe has revealed himself in the flesh. And we meet him by faith in the word that he has caused to be written. And that word is completely trustworthy and reliable. So, if we need reminding of this completely reliable word, then point three, we need to pay attention to it. Let me read all of verse 19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. God's word is like a light shining in a dark place. Imagine for a moment you're in a dark room. It's pitch black. It's damp. There are the noises of things scurrying about the floor and the wall. You hear water dripping. There's horrible smells coming from different places in the room. Everything you touch either moves or is kind of squishy, and it's rather unpleasant. And then suddenly a light comes on, and you see over in a corner there's a dry chair, a towel, a little table, there's some food on there. The light is essential. You know what to do now. You know where to go. Peter says God's word, the Bible, is like that. But what's the dark place that the word shines in? Well, the dark place is this world. And the problem is that our world doesn't look that bad. My world, and I'm guessing your world, probably doesn't look that dark. Yes, there are some horrible places in the world, but apart from a messy room, our houses are probably really very nice. The places we go to work, the places we go to study, the places we hang out through the week. There's some really nice places that we spend our time in. How do you describe them as dark? And that's why we need to be reminded of God's word, because God's word reveals what the world is like without Christ. And the Bible reveals that my world, however lovely it looks on any given day, is broken, it is fallen, it is under the curse of Genesis 3. That the people around me who don't know Jesus are heading for an unthinkable eternity. But God's word reminds me that though they are lost, there is hope in the gospel. God's word reminds me that the TV shows and movies and books and things that I like to relax with are usually, at best, absolutely superficial and say nothing about eternity, and at worst, they are deceptive. And it's the word of God that teaches me that all people are of equal value. Race, gender, age, all of us are equally made in the image of God. Only the Bible teaches me that. How will you look at your world this week? It's possible that we will behave and think, in effect, no different to our unbelieving friends. In that case, we'll have forgotten God's word. So we need to pay attention to God's word. The Bible is like a light in a dark place. It shows us the way things really are, and it gives us hope because it tells us about the God of eternity. So pay attention to it. I want to give four short applications of this. The first one, read it. Read the Bible. We have it in print. We have it in our own language. Many of us have several copies of it at home. Do you plan to read it? Make time. If you can't do it every day, then plan several days in the week. If you don't have heaps of time, that's okay. Start small. I think a little amount, regularly, doably, is much better than a big amount that really you just never get around to. 5 minutes. Plan to read God's word. Now, you might think, I don't know where to start. I don't understand the Bible, really. And that could be a number of us. And, you know, that is even harder to admit if you've been a Christian for ages. But can I say humility is one of those things that God loves? It is okay to not get the Bible, as long as you can admit that and go, okay, I need a bit of help. Read it with someone else. Find a Christian friend who's a little bit further along than you and say, do you want to just read the Bible once a week, sit down, half an hour? And if you don't even know who to ask, ask me, Matt, Graham. We'll find someone that it's a good fit with. Read the Bible with them. Or if you're really familiar with the Bible, why don't you look around for someone who's not that familiar and say, hey, do you want to read the Bible once a week? Read it. And let me also say, if you own it, bring it to church. Bring your own Bible. Get used to using your Bible. This one has been with me now. It'll be 25 years at the end of the year. I got this when I was ordained. And there are parts of the Bible, a lot of them now, where if I'm remembering it, I can actually figure out where it is on the page, and it helps me to remember the thing I'm trying to find. Read your own Bible. Get used to reading. Read it. Pay attention to it. That's the first thing. Read it. Secondly, avoid easy alternatives. When I say avoid them, probably mean don't replace reading the Bible with easy alternatives. See, there are lots of things that help us understand the Bible. When we've got a bookstore, we've usually got a good range of books that will help you understand the Bible. There are talks that you can download on the internet. There are study Bibles that have the Bible printed at the top part of the page, and underneath you've got notes. And those notes help you explain, help you understand the Bible. Those are all really good things. Can I say, make sure you keep reading the Bible itself and not just the things that explain it. Because only the Bible itself is unmistakably, infallibly, reliably God's word. Did you read the Bible a lot when you were younger? Did you read it cover to cover? Once. That's excellent. Do not merely rely on your memory of having read the Bible way back. Keep reading it. Don't rely on the easy alternatives. Pay attention to it. Third one, apply it. Expect God to change you when you read the Bible. Expect things to happen when you read the Bible. Do you know the Lord completely? Do you know everything there is to know about God? Are you morally and spiritually perfect in every way? Of course not. But the way those things change and develop, the way we grow in our knowledge of God, the way we change in our behavior and become more like Jesus is through engaging with God in his word. It is not going to happen any other way. Expect to see yourself and the world differently from reading the Bible. Expect to learn new things about our infinite God. Be ready to realize that you've drifted in some aspect of your life and you actually need to repent. Look forward to getting re-excited about some aspect of the gospel that you may well have known for decades. And look forward to finding renewed boldness to live for Christ. Apply God's word, pay attention to it. And finally, keep it central. We just prayed for our ministry leaders. If you are a ministry leader, keep the Bible central in your work, in your ministry. And that goes for all of us because we've all prayed for our ministry leaders and we are all part of the ministry here. Make sure the Bible stays central. Keep it at the heart of who we are and what we do. God speaks. His word is written down for us. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.